Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy is brought to you by New York Community Bank and the NYCB family of banks. Online at mynycb.com. By your locally owned and operated Papa John's, the official pizza of the New York Yankees. By Adorama, the official electronic retail of the Yankees radio network. By Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. And by Carrier, turn to the experts for the final time to talk about this season, Sweeney Murdy.
Hi, Sween.
What's up, fellas?
Sween, all right, let's start with this because I think one of the real keys to this series, one of the things that really jumped out at me in this series is it seems like Alex Cora, every move he made was the right move. I mean, whatever he did, you know, with Holt, and then he goes back to Kinsler last night, he brings in Sale in the eighth inning. Every move he makes is right, and it just seems it was just the opposite with Aaron Boone. What about that?
Yeah, it works out that way, you know. I think the two moves that really came back to bite Boone were sticking with Severino and Sabathia too long.
Right.
But on the other side, even if he had taken them out, you know, the Yankees did nothing against Eovaldi or Porcello to the point where, you know, I don't know how much of a difference it makes at that point because they weren't – I mean, the game's closer and you're obviously – you're a little more within striking distance. Those were two key moves that helped separate the game for the Red Sox, allowed them to deploy their pen differently, which obviously is a big factor in them winning these games. I mean, you know, they brought Porcello and Sale out of the bullpen twice in this series, which shows you how they feel about the rest of their pen. Those are two things. Listen, he explained his reasons for them, and it didn't work out. You're right. Alex Cora went to his guys, and I think the what really helped him out was those two starting pitchers especially were very effective in shutting the Yankees down.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you lose a playoff series, and I remember this when the Yankees lost in 05 and 06 and 07, you exaggerate what you see in 3, 4, or 5 games. But the thing about this Yankee team was why they lost – was kind of a similar thing to what concerned Yankee fans all year long, right? Lack of the big hit, reliance on the home run, they didn't trust Boone handling a bullpen, and Giancarlo was in clutch. All of those things were the things Yankee fans complained about all year long, and when you define what went wrong, those things are the reason why. So here's my question. Do you look at this series loss and the reasons why they lost and say, boy, they've got to re-examine how they build a lineup? Or do you say, well, they didn't hit for 4 games. You can't overthink it. How do you handle it, Sween?
I think there are going to be a few decisions they have to make with their roster. They had some guys who, you know, as far as you look at, like, average guys, you had some guys who were part of your team that really underperformed massively. You know, you had Gardner in left. You had Sanchez behind the plate as far as an average. Massive underperformance there. Greg Bird at first base until you had Luke Voit in the in September, really. You didn't really have much to show for first base. You know, look at the guys that got shut down here. You know, Miguel Andujar hit almost 300, you know, couple of singles. Gleyber Torres hit 270, couple of singles. Stanton's season, I mentioned this last night, was a lot like Alex Rodriguez in his first year here. The overall numbers look pretty good, but you could point to a lot of situations where you thought he should have been better and he wasn't. And then in the playoffs, you know, there was nothing really to show for, and you lost to the Red Sox. Same thing happened to Alex Rodriguez. I think that they tend to look at building a team for the season. And it's, you know, you hope that all those same things, I think every team does this, you hope all those same things that get you through the regular season will show up in the postseason and you try and figure it out, but there's not a big guarantee. You know, it's really hard to build teams for two different styles of play, regular season and postseason. And I think the Yankees have consistently, I don't think they're going to change, put it that way, of how they build their offense. I think you're looking for those players to be a little bit better.
Sweeney, let's go going back again, to last night's game, just some of the moves. And I understand defensively, Andujar has not been good defensively, but shouldn't Andujar be playing? I mean, he's a guy that had, was one of the best players all year. The guy drove in 92 runs, all of that, all the doubles and everything. Should he be playing last night?
I think he should have been playing after CeCe Sabathia came out. I think while CeCe Sabathia was in the game, I think it was absolutely the right call, because what you're looking for when he's in the mound is a lot of weak contact, ground balls to the left side. That's what you were looking for. Now, they kept Walker in there as long as Porcello was in there. They wanted the lefty splits they felt were better against Porcello. But I still thought that once you're behind, and Sabathia's out of the game, I was surprised Andujar didn't come in for that second turn through the order. I really thought that Neil Walker was going to be in there for one at bat.
Between.
That's how long I thought CeCe Sabathia was going to be in. And then, I'm looking for Andujar to pinch hit for him, and he never came out.
Well, here's the problem with that logic, and it's not your logic. It's the manager's logic, right? You're going to program who's going to play defensively for three innings, because let's face it, Sabathia was never going to go deep in this game. So you're making a lineup decision. You're going to bench a guy who I thought was the MVP of the team during the regular season. That's what I think Andujar was this year. You're going to bench him for three innings of defense. That's basically the thought behind it, correct?
My thought was that you're taking one at bat away from him. Now, my thought process and what actually happened, veered off, was that he never came in at all.
Right.
My thinking was, you're taking one at bat away from him for defense, which could play, which I bought that. I thought they were going to use all three guys. I thought ideally what's going to happen is Walker's going to start. Once Sabathia is out, you bring in Andujar. You might be behind. You bring him in, and then if you get the lead, now you're going to see Echevarria. I thought that's how they're going to play it. That's not how it turned out.
Sweeney, addressing the starting rotation, and Evan and I both mentioned this, and I think this is something. I don't know if this is, probably not the reason they lost the series. But when I look at this Yankee starting rotation, to me, the guy who, to me, has to be the number one guy in pressure games is Tanaka. I mean, we could say whatever you want about Jay Happ and Severino and this, that, and the other thing. Now, to me, Tanaka's the guy. And the one game they won, not coincidentally, well, it helped that David Price pitched, but the one game that they won was, Tanaka. And I don't think he gets enough credit for being the kind of big money pitcher he is. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think he gets plenty. But I think that, Severino is probably the one area where, the Yankees have talked about, Boone specifically, beginning of the season, I remember talking about his desire to be great. And he's been really good, but there's that extra level that I think you want to see. And he's still young. He might still hit that.
Right.
I mean, you've seen plenty of really good pitchers struggle in the postseason. That's happened. You've seen guys who are going to the Hall of Fame who struggle in the postseason. I think that was one area where you hoped that he would get better. And he is, the second half was really puzzling. He did not take that leap. He could have very easily been a Cy Young Award winner this year based on the talent and what you saw from him in the postseason about how that talent's displayed. I keep going back to whatever happened in the second half, whether he was dealing with anything physically or if he was tipping pitches or any of these theories that you heard, something wasn't right. And that never really got fixed. He came back a little bit towards the end in September to the point where he's getting more swings and misses. And I think that was enough to make you feel confident to put him out there in a wild card spot and a game one kind of spot. But it wasn't the same thing. I go back to the game that he pitched against the Phillies in late June. The Phillies people were saying they've never been dominated like that. This is a team that's in the same division as Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. And they were saying that Severino is something they hadn't seen. One start later, he shut the Red Sox down at Yankee Stadium, and that's, you know, that's really the last time those two teams were close, and Severino hadn't been the same since. So I don't know, you know, where it veered off for him, but he is, you know, he's a guy that is, you know, he's a number one. He just struggled badly down the stretch.
He can be a number one. I mean, he's shown the ability to be a number one. He's just so inconsistent. I mean, that's the thing. It's tough to figure him out.
Well, he had about, he was consistent in the first half.
Yeah,
he had a bad second half.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a part of it.
He wasn't inconsistent. He was really good, and then he was.
Big picture, he's inconsistent. I mean, sure. Over, you're right in that for 14 straight starts, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. There's no denying that. You look at,
and I think they still believe that's his future.
Yeah.
They just have to figure out how to, you know, when you see guys who are really top line major league starters. You know, you have a bad start or two, and then you go back to being who you are.
Right.
You don't have six or seven. You don't have a month and a half where you say, what happened to this guy?
Right.
You have a couple of bad starts, maybe three, and then you turn it back around. That's what he has to be able to do.
The Yankees have a lot of free agents that they have to make decisions on. From the rotation standpoint, three starting pitchers, literally, CC Sabathia, Jay Happ, Lance Lynn. From the bullpen, two key figures, David Robertson, Zach Britton. And then position player-wise, not as big of a deal, the former Pirates, McCutchen and Neil Walker. All of those guys, who's their biggest priorities to bring back?
I think Happ has a really good chance of being a guy they want to bring back. Robertson, the way they, you know, they obviously value bullpen, I think is very interesting there. I don't, you know, I think they'll entertain Sabathia, something similar to last year, something where he can be a fifth starter again. I mean, that's a valuable role, and he, you know, he filled it really well during the course of the season. So I think that's something that you could look for, but, you know, they're still, they knew all along they were short in starting pitching. You know, they had to wait until a deadline to do the best they could, and they filled it with Happ and Lynn. I think they still have to figure out how to solidify the rotation, and they're going to try it again. You know, last year it didn't work out for them as far as who was available and what they were being asked to give up. You know, the Yankees are playing with a full bank again as far as getting under the tax threshold, now being able to go over it and not being as heavily penalized. That was the whole reason for trying to get under it. It wasn't about just, you know, putting the money back in the pocket. They wanted to get under it to reset the tax threshold. You're going to see, from all accounts, you're going to see the Yankees go, you know, go spend big time now. Now, that might be on the position player side because of the free agent class, but I feel like they have to do something.
Oh, so you think... You think, Sweeney,
they're going to spend big.
They're going to get Bryce or Manny. Let's start right there. They're going to get Bryce or Manny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think that? Now, would you? Yeah. Now, we talked about this. If you signed,
I think that was the whole goal. People, you know, for 3 years, 4 years, they're saying, why are the Yankees so cheap? You know, they're trying to save the tens of millions of dollars that they're giving to other teams that help make them better and beat them. They're trying to figure out how to beat the system here because they're subsidizing the other team. And that's been their gripe all along about the system. It is what it is. But they were trying to get under the tax threshold so they could go spend some more of their own money on their talent instead of other teams.
Can you see a scenario where they would sign Manny Machado and he plays third and Andujar plays first? Can you see a scenario where they sign Bryce Harper and he plays first?
I see that with Harper more than Machado. First base is so muddy because, you know, especially you have two very vastly different things happening here. You have this long-held belief in the player that Greg Bird is and what you think he can be when he's healthy. And then you have this really short sample of Luke Voit and what he became. And trying to figure out where the right answer is. Mm. I don't think they'd abandon Miguel Andujar at third base. I think they feel like he has to get better. I mean, you don't just take people, you know, good players and scrap them off of, you know, one area of weakness. You figure out how to make it better. I think they've had And it's been a mutual, I think, affection for Bryce Harper for a long, long time. And I think now that he's a free agent and the Yankees are in a position to go get him, going back, 6 years, I would be shocked if he didn't end up being a Yankee.
You know what? Let me say this about Bryce Harper, okay?
Say it.
I would be very concerned about what this guy is in that locker room. I mean, to me, one of the big things, a guy who has been paid a lot of attention to the Nationals because they're in the division of the team that I root for, okay? I think one of the big reasons this team underachieved as much as they did over the last couple of years is because of Bryce Harper. He's a problem in the locker room.
Interesting. I mean, I think you'd have to talk to the people who were in that locker room with him to see if, he's a reason for that. Listen, the results play out the way they play out, and I see that's why you're drawing it. But, I hate to say he's a problem in the locker room without having people in that locker room tell me he is.
Okay.
Jonathan Papelbon would probably say he is.
I'm sure he would. He does have a lot of cred.
Right. So, Sweeney, the idea that Joe and I were throwing out there of signing Daniel Murphy and Michael Brantley, not as sexy as what the Yankees are probably going to do, apparently.
I wouldn't discount Murphy. I think that's an interesting first base option.
Makes sense.
When you think about what he brings as a, the Yankees had leaned a lot right-handed this year. He would certainly balance things out. And if the money gets crazy for some of these guys, and I don't know where it's going to go with Murphy, but it's not as high as the Machado and Harper class.
But you know what? And look, Sweeney, obviously Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are tremendous players. I'm not downgrading what they do. But the one thing about Brantley specifically and Murphy that I think it's time the Yankees got to bring in, guys that don't strike out. I mean, there's a parallel. And Joe and I went through this not that long ago about the championship teams over the last decade. And we kept noticing something. They don't strike out that much. We noticed that. Remember when we looked through that, Joe?
No doubt.
We're like, what a coincidence.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean blow the whole team up or anything like that. And I get it. Judge is going to strike out. We understand that. And Stanton's going to strike out. But Michael Brantley and Daniel Murphy, who I know a lot of New Yorkers are affectionate about, they do something that's rare. They put the freaking bat on the ball. And isn't that ultimately what this offense needs?
They look for two things. They look for the ability to get on base and the ability to have a high slugging percentage. That doesn't mean hit the ball out of the ballpark all the time, but when you play in Yankee Stadium, that's going to happen a lot. Here's the thing, though. They didn't strike out very much in the series. They put the ball in play. They struck out 31 times in four games. Eight of those were from Chris Sale in the first five innings of Game 1. They did not lose the series because they struck out a lot. We've gone through all the reasons. But the high strikeouts in the regular season didn't play as much in this postseason for them. Now, on the flip side, their pitching staff didn't strike out the Red Sox very much either.
Right.
And that's a big thing. They were not getting, they were at historic levels, especially out of their bullpen, of getting swings and misses and getting strikeouts. And they generated, as a team, 29 strikeouts in the four games. So, it played against them on the pitching side as well. But it wasn't as big a factor for their offense in these four games as you would think.
Mm. Sween, now do you go on vacation now, Sween? I mean, what are you doing?
No.
You on vacation for Sween?
No, I do what I do every day. I get up and get my kids on the bus, and then I try to help figure out what the answers to these questions are.
I see.
Because they don't stop. I love when people say, so what do you do in the off season? Tell me one day that you guys especially don't think about baseball in the off season.
That's busy.
And who's going where?
I understand that.
And what?
But
what,
I would think, totally understand that, but I would think, look, you can't sign free agents till after the playoffs
correct.
And everything is
correct.
Over.
Yes.
You don't have the meetings, the winter meetings or the GM meetings or whatever meetings they have until after that's over. I would think
after
you get
Right,
you get a couple weeks until the end of the World Series, I would think.
Yeah, there might be a Penn State home game in my future.
There you go. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, of course, but I'm not a single man anymore. I can go globetrotting until all this stuff happens.
You're globetrotting, but you're taking. Buddy. Okay, I should have phrased it this way. Time off. Time off. How's
yeah. That? Yes. I will. I will put the phone down for a little while, and try to stay off the Twitter high wire for a little while.
Right, right.
But yeah, I'm going to obviously spend less time at the ballpark, and there's not a lot of, you know, there isn't a lot the Yankees can do that would ruin my days at home for the next couple of weeks. That'll start a little bit later on. But yeah, I love this idea that people think that it's, you know, people think you just go off to some island until April 1st, and that just isn't true. Yeah.
No, we don't think that's
right. Now, give me your prediction now. You've watched a lot of Red Sox games. You saw the Astros a lot earlier this season. Red Sox, Astros, it's two things. It's a rematch of last year's division series and the almost, but not quite, 1986 World Series. Didn't happen, unfortunately for them.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in this series, Swing? Give me a prediction.
I think I like the I like who the Astros are with their starters. Listen, if Evaldi's going to throw another game like that again, then obviously it's a big boost on the Red Sox side. I love this thing to go seven games. I do feel like the Astros are the team that, you know, kind of got overlooked. You know, they're the world champs, and they won 100 games. You know, we all year long we were focused on the Yankees and Red Sox, and you know their 100 win seasons. So, yeah, I think I might like the Astros in seven games here. By the way, if you pay attention to how many home runs the Astros hit in the playoffs, I mean, that is a lineup that does, yeah, they do.
George Springer hits a home run. George Springer hits a home run every game. Yep. It's remarkable what he does. There's something, man. The Astros are something. And they look like they're on their way to another World Series, but we'll see. You never know.
The Red Sox showed you something. You know, I mean, the all year long, it was okay, let's see what they do. Let's see what, you know, what they do with their bullpen. They're going to be unconventional here. I mean, I think you'll see them do more of Porcello or Baldy or or Sale on the days in between. I think they know what their shortcoming is, and if they want to win eight more games, I think they know how they have to do it.
You know did you
you're going to see that.
Did you think about this last night at all, everybody? Chris Sale comes in, pitches a great eighth inning. Were you thinking, Just keep him in?
Yeah.
Let's let him finish the job.
I did, but I'm not sure that he was prepared for that in this. I mean, he had like Bumgarner do that, you know, just drew a ride to the finish line in that one game, you know, five innings, whatever it was. I'm not sure, you know, Kimbrel's Kimbrel, you know. I think the other guys in the pen are where they have their issues. I just think they felt all along getting to Kimbrel. Now, you saw, you know, I mean, he almost gave it away. And listen, if you talk about game of inches, I don't know what the physics of the Gary Sanchez fly ball are as far as where he'd have to hit that and what, you know, how many millimeters he was off of making today's report a completely different story. But I think they've felt that Kimbrel's still their guy. They're not replacing their closer. Now, if you get to a situation where it's game seven and you want to see Chris Sale pull a Bumgarner,
right,
I could see that. But I'm not sure that last night was that situation, especially when you have, I mean, you were up 2-1. It wasn't a game seven. It wasn't, you know, win or go home. I would not have burned that last night.
Sweeney, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, Sweeney.
All right, fellas.
Sweeney Murdy. Sweeney brings up one of the great epic moments in the last 30 years of baseball, and that's what Matt Bum did that night. He was
right.
on 2 days rest.
Yep.
He had pitched a complete game shutout a few days earlier. He comes out of the bullpen and pitches five scoreless innings to lead the Giants to a World Series. And that's why I mentioned earlier, if you're the Yankees, you place a phone call, because he's a legend. He doesn't have to do anything else the rest of his career. That dude is a freaking legend just for that performance.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.